The Holy Gospel this day comes from Matthew in the 4th chapter. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and after it he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, grace and peace to you this day on this first Lenten Sunday. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this Gospel passage, I really struggle with. I've read it many times. I've preached on it several times. I've studied it in seminary. I've read countless interpretations by theologians and scholars. It makes sense in my head, but I've never, ever really felt comfortable with it. And maybe part of my discomfort comes from the way that this story is often interpreted. The devil tempts Jesus, and often the story goes that gets turned into a message about how the devil tempts us to, and we're supposed to resist with enough faith and enough discipline and enough spiritual strength. And in some traditions, people might call this spiritual warfare, with Jesus serving as a model for how not to give in to temptation. And that interpretation is not necessarily wrong, but it makes me a little uneasy. Because I am not Jesus. If I were starving after 40 days in the wilderness, I'm pretty sure that I would turn those stones into bread. Sourdough, if possible. I don't think I could resist the devil under those circumstances. And maybe that's exactly the point. I'm human. I cannot avoid sin. I will not always choose rightly. I do things that create distance between myself and God and distance between myself and my neighbors. I embrace lies that help me avoid uncomfortable truths. I am not Jesus. This past Ash Wednesday, I talked about how the ashes that's traced on our foreheads remind us of that truth, that we're human, fragile, mortal, and finite. We carry grief and brokenness, both our own and the world's. Ash Wednesday names this truth out loud and with a tangible, visible reminder on our foreheads in ash. And paradoxically, naming these truths about ourselves and about our world is really what frees us, because it opens us up to this promise that God meets us in our weakness with grace and not judgment. That God meets us in our humanness with love. And that when we stop pretending like we have it all together, when we stop trying to plaster over all the cracks in our lives, grace finally has room to breathe. God comes to us not once we have fixed ourselves. God comes to us exactly as we are. The lectionary doesn't always present the gospel in chronological order. And so today we hear about Jesus being led into the wilderness, to be tempted. But what happens immediately before this event in Scripture matters. And we've heard this story before in Epiphany, at the beginning of Epiphany, close to after Jesus' birth. It's at his baptism. And this is the first time that Jesus appears as an adult in Matthew's gospel, before he calls disciples, before he heals anyone, before he teaches, before he resists temptation, Jesus is baptized. He goes down into the Jordan River, and John the Baptist dunks him in the water, and he comes back up. The heavens open, the Holy Spirit descends like a shining dove, and God's voice then declares, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then, almost immediately, Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tested. The emotional shift here is so abrupt that it feels a little bit like whiplash. Here's why I think that this chronological order matters. Because just as much as we might think Jesus resisted the devil's temptation by sheer force of will and superhuman / divine strength, I think Jesus' strength comes from his identity as God's beloved. He went into the wilderness knowing and trusting who he is and whose he is, a clear sense of identity. He brings his belovedness proclaimed at his baptism with him into the wilderness. And nothing the devil offers, bread, power, glory, nothing can compete with that. None of it aligns with what it means to be loved by God. And that matters for us because baptism is meant to be our identity too. Martin Luther, when he was overwhelmed and discouraged or tempted, he would shout out, "I am baptized." Like he would shout that out. It's a little weird, but he would shout that out, right? It's a little strange. But see, he would say, "I am baptized." Not "I am strong," not "I am faithful enough," but "I am baptized." He called upon the promise of God, not something that he does or earned, but something that God has given him. In baptism, the sign of the cross is the first cross that we receive on our foreheads. The pastor says, "You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." And not just for that moment, not just for that day, but perpetually forever. Every time we dip our fingers into the font and make the sign of the cross, it is a tangible body spirit reminder of this truth that you belong to God. God says, "I made you, I love you, I forgive you, you belong to me, and I will pursue you all the days of your life." This is our strength. This is the core of who we are. Nothing else compares to this, dear friends. And I think we need to hear it over and over and over again, because there are wilderness days, aren't there? There are wilderness days, seasons when parts of our lives fall apart, times when shame creeps in and whispers that something is wrong with us, that we are not enough. And so many of us have been taught by our culture, our families, even our churches, that our worth depends on productivity and perfection and meeting others' expectations or having it all together. And you see, when we hold ourselves to those impossible standards, we then inevitably do the same to others. And I think this is the root of where sin and injustice take place in our lives and in our society. Jesus does not call us to be perfect. He calls us to trust God. Jesus does not call us to produce impressive, shiny results. He calls us to be faithful, to trust. Baptism does not magically protect us from sin or hardship. Like Jesus, we will experience wilderness days. But baptism gives us the strength to not aim to be something we're not to be perfect, but to rather embrace our humanness, to trust that even when we fail, even when we turn inward, even when we wander away from God, that God is the one who comes to find us, that God claims us and God forgives us and God nourishes us with love and mercy. Our Lenten series is called Unbound, Longing for Wholeness. And that longing, whether we know it or not, is rooted in identity. Wholeness begins not with striving, but with remembering who we are and whose we are. You are God's beloved child, and nothing, not even the wilderness, can change that. Pray with me, will you? Holy God, in this Lenten season, and in those wilderness seasons of our lives, renew us in the promise that we belong to you. Through baptismal waters, remind us we are more than what we do or earn. We are your beloved creation, intended to live abundant lives in you. So wash us in your mercy and grace. Unbind us from what keeps us trapped, so that we might experience true and abundant life with you here now and in the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen.